Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated a hadith, and you colleagues will have learned these, heard this hadith from the respected scholars, and you would have read this, heard this, and this humble servant Ajis also shares this hadith, and Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi also included this hadith in his Fazali Amal. And the meaning of the hadith is such that Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu narrated that the companions were gathered, we were all present, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that, shall I tell you such a deed? Shall I not tell you such a deed that will be best from all of your amal, all of your deeds? Min khayri amalukum. That all of your deeds, it will be the best of your deeds, from amongst all of your deeds. Shall I not tell you such a deed that will be purest in the eyes of your Lord, closest, purest for Allah? Shall I not tell you such a deed that will elevate your rank status very high? Shall I not tell you such a deed that, if compared to you spending in the path of Allah, gold and silver, it will be greater than that, better than that? Shall I not tell you such a deed that you may be fighting with the people against you in the path of Allah, the people will be against you, fighting against you, and this deed will be greater, better than that? So the Sahaba Karam, the noble companions who were present there, they, when they had so many fazail, so many virtues and praise of that amal, then imagine what will have been the hal of that jamaat, of that group of the companions. What will have been their condition? So they, with surprise and with love, all of them said, Bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may our parents be assigned to you, that such an amal, great deed you're explaining, what is this amal, what can this be? Yani, such a great deed, if you see here, the first thing we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from all of your deeds, the best of deeds. Now amal, we see what deeds we have, that the amount of deeds Allah has given to us that we perform, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said it will be the best of the deeds and purest. Allah, closest to Allah, closest for Allah, yeah, purest for Allah, purest. And so on top of this, doing this deed, Allah has given a guarantee that this deed of yours will be accepted because it's purest in my sight, paqiza, pure, clean. How can a deed be contaminated or impure when deeds will be presented in the court of Allah? Then with which gauge will the deeds be measured or weighed? Alhamdulillah, we do amal with desire and passion. Allah has given us tawfiq. But in the court of Allah, the deeds that will be weighed, measured, and what will be the difference between pure and impure? And what will be the basis, the measurement gauge? What will it be? That gauge that Allah Ta'ala will utilize, the measurement gauge, the criteria will be ikhlas, sincerity, such big deeds. And they will be compared with one thing. Allah Ta'ala will not look at the faces. Allah will look at titles or people. Nothing Allah will look at. Nothing at all. Just one thing Allah Ta'ala wants to see is that all of the deeds, bring them. You can have deeds stacked up to the heights of the mountains. Allah will look at one factor, one element. Allah won't look at the amount, the quantity, the weight. Subhanallah. If there's any one deed amongst all of the deeds which is very small, minor, very few in quantity, very small in quantity, that deed will be considered. That's what Allah said in the Quran. That one deed equivalent to an atom's dust will be valued, considered. And what is the value of an atom, atom's weight or a speck of dust? But Allah Ta'ala says the amal, the deed that will have the standard of acceptance and measured in thereafter won't be from our faces, appearances, from fame or glory. Rather, it will be measured, weighed based on ikhlas, sincerity, that solely that deed will be done for Allah and no contamination mixture in that deed, none whatsoever. So this may look difficult. The example Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us, the ulama ikram, the respected scholars have said that first and foremost, the day of judgment, when a person will be present. All the people will be there, and first and foremost, the highest rank in this world will be the alim. He's got the high rank, the status. He is the deputy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have high grade status. The ulama ikram, the respected scholars who spread the deen, the work of the deen, they propagate the deen, and Allah has given them high status and grade. They are the deputies of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So according to that status, they'll be called, isn't it? And Allah will say that, present the scholars to me, bring them. The ulama, Allah will say, yes, tell me. You were high grade, I gave you a status and knowledge, and the alims will reply, Allah, we did a lot of work. We used to lead Jummah prayer, Friday prayer, we used to give speeches, call people, all the things that we did, they work hard, and they will explain all of that to Allah. They'll present the deeds, and then the scale will be presented and all their deeds will be put on the scale, and then unfortunately they'll be lacking in sincerity, their deeds, ikhlas, despite saying all of their records, there will be no acceptance from Allah. Allah will say, who did you do these deeds for? Allah, we did this for you. Allah will say, you're lying. This was not for me. This was for the dunya you did this, for fame, for acceptance in the world, for announcements, adverts, and for other people to see what you're doing. And etc., other reasons, and the weaknesses that we have. For those reasons, we do the reason. Imagine the scene, Allahu Akbar, look at this hadith, we read this hadith, a person starts to shake. All life long, that Allah Ta'ala's court will be there and will be just. And that person will be unsuccessful, he will fail. The second person will be called the second rank, Shaheed. The person who is Shaheed, the big status, the Shaheed has a big, high grade. بَلْ أَهْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَتَشْرُونَ. Allah says that even, for example, if they have given their life for Allah, don't call them dead, because Allah says they are alive. They're alive. So that same story, that same account, they'll be asked, what will they say? Allah, we did this for you. For your sake, Allah will say, no, you are lying. You cannot hide from me. In this, there was no lilayat, there was no ikhlas, not solely for Allah's sake, and they will fail. Then, the same way, all of the people that will be gathered, their deeds will be measured on the scale of ikhlas, its sincerity, all amal will be scanned. So this hadith tells us that amal about which the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning, that shall I not tell you a deed, such a deed. First and foremost, it will be the best of the deeds, and then there's no doubt that it will not get stuck in the hisab, in the counting. So if somebody does that deed, like, just like today, I consider that we are, when we hear this hadith, then maybe there will not be a person here who will not accept or embrace this deed. Will you accept it, brothers? Because there's benefit from this hadith, isn't it? We heard the hadith, and all the things will bear witness, the masjid, everything, the lights and the electricity and the lamps and the bulbs, everything, every speck of dust here will go to Allah and say, Allah, that you mentioned this to them and they didn't accept it. So all make niyyah, brothers, that in our lives we will embrace these deeds. We'll have to, such a big amal. So then, after that, the next point, what a great reward. Allah mentions that this amal, the next quality of this amal, sifth attribute, is that it will be totally pure, close to Allah. Your Rabb, your Malik, who is the owner of the universe, totally pure this deed will be. In other words, in this amal, there's ikhlas beyond ikhlas. Allahu Akbar. Yes, there's no percentage of riyah showing off. Allah says, doesn't matter how you do this amal, it's accepted to me. It's Allah's choice, isn't it? 50,000 people are sitting, they start this amal, 2, 3, looking, they're not looking, loudly, weak, whatever, however you're doing this amal, Allah says, no worries, nothing to worry about that, there's no showing off, you cannot be doing this for anyone else's sake. What a great amal. So then we are bypassing that risky line where we were going to get stuck. Allah Ta'ala has taken us away from that line. What a great deed. Subhanallah. So Allah giving us all the tawfiq. The third point, darajat, higher than all the deeds. And if we see, brothers, obviously we do deeds for this reason, so we can get the high status in Jannah, paradise, get the high maqam, we can go close to Allah, we get great status and tasbihat and recitation, read Quran, we do hajj, everything we do, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala gives a guarantee here for this deed, that if you do this deed, then your darajat, your status will be very high due to it. Rather, it will keep on increasing and increasing and increasing. So three guarantees Allah has mentioned, alhamdulillah, and very great guarantees. The fourth, spending. Now sometimes a person, he's implementing deeds, but when we come to spending, then we fail. We lose out. We don't understand. Money, when a person loves a lot of money, nowadays we are living in the materialistic world, a person follows wealth and looks after his wealth. So this hadith covers this factor as well. I was sitting a little bit disturbed. Please sit down. Sit down with ease. Be satisfied. Sit down. Everyone's getting disturbed. Everyone's looking at you if you're moving around. And then my attention also gets distracted. Sit down with ease. Sit down and listen. Don't move around. So, the third point is that spending. So spending, a person, he gets very weak in spending. Sometimes happens when a materialistic world, spending money is difficult, we'll do tahajjud and pray, but when it comes to spending, then a person looks to his pocket. Even zakat with difficulty comes out and we try, that shall I do a bit of fraud so that I can reduce the percentage, the amount, the calculation. This is what we do, isn't it? But alhamdulillah, there are men and women who, with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's grace, they give so much, just like the water is flowing. That's their zakat, their charity is flowing. I've never seen their pockets empty. They are so generous. This is such a great deed to give sadaqah, and I've seen this in my life. One individual who came to me, a little bit warm, the water. A person came to me, and he started to say that I have a child who's very rich, wealthy, and he went to Bangladesh on a business trip. The child got ill, and so ill, extremely ill, so ill, the doctor gave the answer, there are just a few hours left. He cannot be saved. They gave the answer. They said, we can't do anything, we can't help him. Alhamdulillah, a friend of Allah said, don't worry, that Allah, in Allah's hands is life and death, but Allah has promised something. Sadaqah is a great deed. So you've got money, so from today, from now, that spread out your wealth, and you're in a poor country at the moment. So there, not just spreading his wealth, he was very rich, and personally I know him, I speak about him, I know him. And he didn't leave any country. Day and night he spread the money out. He distributed the money. He opened up his accounts for his son. He gave so much sadaqah and charity with the fadl of Allah's grace and mercy. After 1 week, that child was totally healthy and he came back home. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Many events like this are in life. You can see them. One individual, I remember, he came. Very old event. In itikaf we were there. And he came and said, Hazrat, that obviously person, he asks for dua when he has a need. He knows that the doctor's given the answer, the day after that he will die. He said, okay, let's do dua, let's ask for the dua. We have yaqeen, big yaqeen, isn't it, that maybe Allah will accept. So he came and said, Hazrat, do dua, the child, our child, he's been given the answer by the doctors that there's no way. I said, Allah will do khair. And there's only one cure that Allah's Nabi said, according to the sunnah, whatever you've got, however much you've got, spend it in the path of Allah. Spend it for Allah's sake. I said, don't be miserly, stingy. He said, no, what value will give? We'll give everything. Whatever he had, husband, wife, they started to distribute. With the fadl of Allah, after 3 days, the child, even now he's alive, mashallah, he's a hafid, I think. Hafid the Quran. Subhanallah. So sadaqah is a great, great action. And we should never be miserly or stingy. And there's another point here. That from sadaqah, the money does not reduce. Whatever you have, spend it in the way of Allah. And when a person then spends on the way of Allah, you'll be surprised. That person, when he spends, then his wealth starts to increase. It increases. But the fitrat of the human being, the nature of us, is that we want to stay miserly, stingy. So a person should spend for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah. And he spends so much that a person, he can spend gold and silver. It's a very great amal to spend in the path of Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this amal I'm telling you is greater than that. This deed that I'm telling you is greater than spending. Imagine how great is this amal. And the six things here, that your enemy, he will come against you, and he'll be hitting you, you'll be hitting him, and weapons will be used. But the Prophet said that you can do all these amal, spending in the way of Allah and making effort, but this amal I'm telling you, said the Prophet is greater than all of these things. Will you do this amal, my brothers? True promise? Do you feel good about it? Yes, of course. So in the Sahaba's life, the amal came so much that they used to sit on the road and do the amal. They used to take each other's hand Where are you going? Or Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let's sit down and do this amal. That sit on the banks of the road and they start doing this amal. Subhanallah. This is how much, mashallah, they had yaqeen and love that everything we will get from this amal. And their maqam was very great, mashallah. So all the sahaba, they said, Bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that may all things be assigned to you. Please tell us what amal is this so that we can start this and bring this into our lives. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Subhanallah. Wala dhikrullah, Subhanallah. The dhikr of Allah, do the dhikr of Allah, Subhanallah. What a great point. Such a great action is the dhikr of Allah. Imagine. And we are so ghafil, we are so negligent with regards to dhikr Allah, we cannot imagine. So this is the sign that this is the age of fitna that we're in. A person is stuck in fitna and his preparation is very weak. And we can see this from these things. That he has no passion, no desire. He doesn't have no fikr for maut or for death. One amal, so many things we're getting direct. The direct paradise a person gets. Direct. So when this amal is so great, then tell me, with regards to this deed, what has been told to us about this deed, the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has kept in, for this deed, for this amal. Tell me. Just take one. Alhamdulillah. How great a reward Allah Ta'ala set aside. And imagine one deed and all of the rewards for the person. That there are many people, subhanAllah, who Allah Ta'ala has put love into their hearts for the dhikr of Allah, for His remembrance. Very big mercy of Allah. Extreme mercy. And a person should be very grateful when he's doing the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala, your great karam on me, your great mercy on me. That when I'm a ghafil in the world and you've revived me, you've revived my inside and I'm remembering you, Allah, I'm remembering you. And then, that a person should always think of these rewards. That I'm not wasting time, I'm not wasting anything, I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm not wasting anything at this moment in time. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing action of high grade action. And very simple, that I don't need wudu, I don't need the prayer mat, I don't need the masjid, I don't need special place. That to this extent, he said that the easier the circumstances for you to do dhikr, the more reward you will get. Subhanallah. That those people, men, who sit on their beds with ease and they do the dhikr of Allah, they will go into paradise smiling, laughing. Subhanallah. 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 Glory be to Allah. So think for a little while here. Think for a moment. The great amal we do for Hajj, we try so hard, we spend money. Yes, after that we have one niyyah, and everybody has one niyyah. One intention that I will earn this much, I'll get this much reward, I'll go to Arafat, I'll go here and there. We do so much, we try so hard, we work so hard. But can anyone guarantee that the Hajj is accepted? Tell me, can anyone guarantee that the Hajj is accepted? Nobody can guarantee. But there's a danger that, oh, I don't want to do disrespect when I go on Hajj. And we focus on other things that are important. That what mistakes we've made, have I said something wrong, have I done something wrong, the maqams that I've crossed, and the Prophet ﷺ's Rawda Mubarak, to be present at his Rawda, his blessed grave. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah tells the Sahaba Kram that do not raise your voices here, that all your deeds will be wasted. If you do disrespect here, Bedwi, how do we go there? When we go to the Rawda Mubarak, the holy grave of the Prophet, how do we present ourselves? May Allah Ta'ala forgive. Cameras, beds trimmed, somebody's got half a bed, somebody's got some other game, some other drama. Ajeeb, weird scenarios people present there. And such a place, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Talha, such great sahabas were just told this, that don't raise your voices here. That I'll give you such a punishment, Allah says, that you won't get the opportunity to do tawbah. You won't. That this is how dangerous this place is. And this is that presence about which that a mashallah, great couplet is coming to my mind. Great couplet. That this is such a place, subhanallah. That the name is so blessed, that saying the Prophet's name, Allahu Akbar, that even if I wash my tongue with rose water 1,000 times, I won't be capable of saying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name. I can't remember the couplet, the verses of this poem. That even 1,000 times, if I wash my tongue with rose water, I'm not capable of mentioning the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a great place that the angels, they shake, the arshes, subhanAllah, bears witness, testifies to the greatness, that we get a ticket, we buy the plane ticket and we go and we just present ourselves. The question arises here, that if we look here, that there's danger upon danger. But here, the other way we are going, that these amal that we are doing, an ajeeb point comes out here. The elders have stated what? That we get the tawfiq here, that we're doing hajj, we're doing umrah, and whatever tawfiq Allah Ta'ala has given, and totally there are dangers, Allahu Akbar, due to this amal, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will also accept those deeds that I've just mentioned, and other deeds, due to this deed. So brothers, will you do dhikr? Yes, inshallah. Such a great deed. Wala dhikr Allahi Akbar, Allah Ta'ala has stated. Why has Allah Ta'ala said Akbar? Why? That all of the deeds we see, all of the amal, just like in the hadith we read, that Allah says that the everything is existent due to the dhikr of Allah. Salah is for the sake of dhikr. Salah is existent, Quran, everything. If there was no dhikr of Allah, then all deeds would end. Allah says everything is due to dhikr. Subhanallah. Everything is the dhikr, remembrance of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Nothing else. So a person, when he gets negligent, lazy, we used to think, brothers, that if somebody's lazy or negligent or doesn't want to do dhikr, then this is a very big point we need to understand, that even a second of a person is away from the dhikr of Allah, he wastes his life. If I ask today, that who today morning and evening sat and did the dhikr of Allah, very few people will say they did a low percentage. I did that action. O servants of Allah, the greatest action, due to which all amal will be accepted. If we sat in the corner, we could at least have done that. But why? Because shaitan's da'wah is ajeeb, and he takes us off the track and diverts us. We say, no, let me do other things. We don't want to do that action, which Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. Allah has given a guarantee for that action. Allahu Akbar. So great rewards are being received, subhanAllah. So now this gathering, mashallah, big gathering here we've got for this reason, because we are gathered for the sake of Allah. So we see the rahmah, the mercy due to the dhikr, how much Allah has put rahmah in this gathering, that when a majma like this, a gathering which is for the sake of Allah, as Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, that when a gathering, when people come together, and the objective of that gathering is what? Allah's radah, mercy. Obviously, everyone has this objective, isn't it? Yes, I haven't given you a da'wah invitation for walima or for other things, have I? This is the intention, isn't it? That we have come with this desire, alhamdulillah, we will meet good people, and I'm grateful that people like you are pious. I've got your company, I've got the opportunity to sit at your feet, and this majlis, I can see that due to you, my forgiveness also will be attained, alhamdulillah. That whatever condition I'm in, Allah has given me a great opportunity that such pious people are here, salih, alims, and half. Then a person like me is useless. If I say it for a while, then I'll be successful. So what's the point of it's only, for example, an hour or an hour and a half drive we've come. So we should seek excuses, local excuses, that Allah Ta'ala forgives us, subhanAllah. So this gathering, Allah has given such great rahmah that you are gathered here, your maqsid is Allah's radha, and you're gathered just for this reason, that you want to do the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah. You want to do dhikr. So as soon as the gathering comes together, people come together, in the hadith it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an angel, he announces, a special angel who is looking across the whole world, he's looking, and he must have a speaker, his announcement, it reaches to the whole world, and to the corners, everyone hears, the fishes here in the seas, his call, and he's introducing us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by name, subhanAllah. Yes, that a person's registered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person's name is registered. Wherever his voice goes, the fish will attest, and the birds and the leaves, everything will testify that this person on this evening after Maghrib, there was a jamaat that sat down about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heavens announced, subhanAllah. What did Allah ta'ala announce? Think. What did Allah announce? Everywhere there'll be gatherings different. There'll be a gathering here, somebody bring tawaf or umrah. But this specific gathering, Allah's rahmah, mercy comes special. Listen, subhanAllah, that due to this amal. So this majma, this gathering that's formed together, then we've come, we've sat down for the dhikr of Allah. A person who sits and listens and is included in the dhikr of Allah, this is Allah's rahmah. Not just this gathering, but wherever in the whole world, whoever is included in this gathering through here, through the mic, they are also including the gathering. So look at Allah. Allah's love is broad, expansive to those women who made food quickly. There will be a gathering. There's dhikr all their women like this. They make the food earlier, and they tell their husband, children, please eat quickly, today, the dhikr of Allah is going to take place. So do you think that they're going to leave empty-handed when they do good actions? Most definitely they'll be included, most definitely. Alhamdulillah. In the whole world, it's going to Africa, Zimbabwe, everywhere to the corners of the world this is going. So the angel, he won't just speak out for nothing, will he? So the hukum, the order, the angel will be given the order, call out, and he'll say, congratulations, everyone in the world will be listening. Those people are gathered here for Allah's radha, for the dhikr of Allah, they are gathered. Everyone's forgiveness has taken place. They are forgiven. Subhanallah. They are forgiven. Subhanallah. Why? The dhikr of Allah. That's why they are forgiven, all of them. So they are forgiven, and all of the sins that were attached to them, Allah Ta'ala knows such people who have come here. Allah says, all of the sins that were attached to their bodies, to themselves, and they were destined for Jahannam, for hellfire, and big azab and punishments were to grab them. But Allah's rahmah, that they reached to this majlis and stated not just this, that they are forgiven, rather all of their bad deeds, their sins have been transformed into good deeds. Subhanallah. So this is the dhikr of Allah. Wala dhikr Allah akbar. This is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. So what we need to do, my brothers, our life is very important part of the akhirah, and a very easy and very beautiful thing. And we've just discussed one thing, forgiveness that we get from this action of dhikr, but we get many other benefits from the dhikr of Allah, from this action. So when Allah Ta'ala mentions dhikr, then He's also mentioned the tariqah, every ibadah, the method, pray salah like this, fast like this. So has Allah Ta'ala not told us the tariqah, the method? The Mawlanas have just read this verse, Ya ayyuladheena aminu dhkuru la dhikran kathira wa sabbihuhu bukratun wa sila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuhu liyukhrijahum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur wa kana bil mu'minin. This is all about the dhikr of Allah. I can't commentate this whole verse, but I'll just say that Allah Ta'ala has given us the tariqah, the method of how to do His dhikr, how to remember Him. That all the amal that you do, they are separate and separate from this action of dhikr. Say subhanallah. Yes? Direct that salah is dhikr, isn't it? Reading this is dhikr, isn't it? No, Allah says don't mix. They are separate actions, this is separate. Subhanallah. They are separate actions and this is separate. Subhanallah. They are all dhikr, yes. But this dhikr that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, that this, all of those dhikr are temporary. Remembrance of Allah, those things that you do, they're temporary. Yes, they are apportioned a time limit. For example, you pray Salatul Fajr. Will you pray Fajr Salah now? You can't pray Fajr Salah now. Will you pray Isha in the morning? No, you can't. So all the deeds have been given specific time limits. You can pray this now, you can do this now, you can do this now, then you're off. You're free. You say, I feel like I want to lie down in my bed and I pray Fajr Salah now. Can you? You can't pray Fajr. There's a specific time. All deeds have specific times. Hajj. If you say Hajj, I'll go in the Hajj days. Fine. Oh, if I go away from the Hajj month, can you go? You can go and do tawaf and throw the stones and drink the zamzam. But will your Hajj be accepted? No, it's a specific month you have to go in, the specific dates. Oh, Rajab's come, it's good weather, the days are small. Okay, let's make niyyah everyone. It's Ramadan. Will it be Ramadan? No. Will it be? Can we fast Ramadan? No. So there's a specific time, whether it's cold, warm, high, low, you have to do the action at that time when Allah gives the hukum. My Mawla has given the hukum to do this. Yes? So it's everything is temporary. Everything is temporary, Allah Ta'ala says. Everything, all ibadat, for example, you can move around, do whatever you want, but Allah has given specific times. But Allah Ta'ala says, when it comes to my dhikr, my remembrance, then there's no time bound. You're not bound by time. It's permanent, ongoing, eternal, everlasting. You can do dhikr in the night. You can do dhikr in the day. You can do dhikr when the sun's coming up, when the sun's setting, you can do dhikr. Okay, I'm lying down, do it. Alladheena yadhkuruna al-qiyama wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim, Allah Ta'ala says, subhanallah. And Allah has mentioned here, and praise them. They're not that they're foolish, that they do dhikr all the time, we say they're foolish. Allah Ta'ala praises them, that they are the people with wisdom, subhanallah. They are the people with wisdom. So this is the deception of shaitan on us, that he has taken us away from dhikr. Allahu Akbar. One amal, he's replaced with another amal. No, you don't need to do this. You don't need to do this deed. How can this be not necessary? Imagine. So this is temporary and this is permanent. For that reason, Allah Ta'ala has put a condition with dhikr. Yes? That Allah Ta'ala has put a condition. With Hajj there's a condition, with Zakat there's a condition, with prayer, with fasting, but with dhikr, Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Whenever we speak about dhikr, Allah has put a condition, kathira. High quantity. What's the tashri, the commentary of kathira? What's the commentary? Now we don't understand. You say, why don't you do dhikr? Oh, I do 12 tasbihs in the morning. I do this many tasbihs in this time. This is not kathira. Kathira means unlimited. Abundance. No upper limit. No counting. Every moment. Sleeping, even then, yes, do dhikr. There should be no time empty from the dhikr of Allah. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. This is called dhikr and kathira. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. And for this, all the rewards come. All the rewards come. So will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. Now you'll ask, how can we do this dhikr? We have to work, sleep, eat, speak. Allah says, do that, but do dhikr as well. Yes, otherwise there's no dhikr. You are not fulfilling the condition. If today I tell you the tariqah, will you do this, brothers? Will you learn the tariqah, the method? Put your hands up if you learn the method. Otherwise, there should be some benefit in becoming good. You've understood what I'm saying. What a great point that Allah Ta'ala sent the man to your home, to your village, to your locality. Subhanallah. So this is a specific and special method. The Mashayikh Ikram, all night long, they worked hard, they give tabligh to tell people, alhamdulillah, about this. So, dhikran kathir, the condition is kathir, high quantity, unlimited. And how do we do that? What's the method? Not from your tongue, not from the nose, not from the hands. Allah says the tariqah, the method is one. One, that in your body there's an organ and you have to do dhikr from that organ which never sleeps, never stops. It never goes quiet. The eye sleeps, the nose get blocked, the mouth, the hands stop, the legs stop. But there's one organ Allah has made that first when a person is created, Allah creates that organ first. What is that organ? The heart, the heart. Subhanallah. So Allah says you could be occupied in the world, but your heart is attached to Allah. You can be occupied, all your organs, limbs doing work in the world, but your heart is attached to Allah. That's it. This is called the heart, and this is what we need to do. We can be working in the world, wife, children, family, running your shop, business, tabligh, Quranic, teaching, hadith. But where is your heart? It's focused on Allah. Yes? So this is not 100, not 1,000, not 100,000. All our salaf were like this. Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullahi, he wrote many kitabs, many books. Many books, but what a big guarantee that never did he write his pen when he was writing a kitab that he's writing and his heart was not doing dhikr of Allah. It was not possible that this was happening. Yes, that look at Behisti Zewar and look at the great kitabs that he wrote. That, subhanAllah, he was writing with his hand. It was not the case that he was writing or working and his heart was not beating to the name of Allah, to the remembrance of Allah. So this is what we need to do, that our heart, we have to teach it to say Allah. The tariqah for that after salah, I will explain to you. Every man's heart will become alive with the fadl of Allah. Every insan will start to do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. According to that tariqah, I'll tell you, I'll explain to you the method, morning and evening, afternoon. Automatically your heart will become alive. Allah, 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 Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has told us the tariqah is very easy, simple. But you have to learn this. You have to go somewhere to learn this. Just like you have to learn the Quran, you have to learn the hadith, and every subject Islamically you have to learn. So the dhikr of Allah has to be learned. It's a special dhikr, effective dhikr. And this is called qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, maraqabah dhikr. This is called silent dhikr. So all these names Allah has given to this dhikr, this technique, this superior technique. So learn this dhikr today, alhamdulillah. And I'll tell you the tariqah, the method. And according to that, make your heart alive, alhamdulillah, in your life. Such hadith you'll hear, you'll read. How Allah Ta'ala has delivered the knowledge to us. Such rewards. And the life within, your inner life, your inner state will be improved and changed for the better. Thousands of sins within us. Backbiting and envy and jealousy and hatred. You name it. All the sins that we cannot imagine. That morning in from inside. Outside, totally clean. As-salamu alaykum. Everyone saying salam. But inside, if we look at our inner state, then nobody would even come towards us. There's so many sins inside. We're backbiting, hasad, lying, and mal, we're consuming people's wealth, we're arguing, and we have greed inside us, envy and fraud is inside us, and hatred, and thousands of diseases are within us, illnesses, sicknesses, sins. And as soon as, praise be to Allah, and there's no other action that can, you can't spray inside and clean. Allah says, kullu shayin saqilatun, that everything has a cleaning agent. And the cleaning agent for the heart is what Allah says, don't worry, you can have many sicknesses, start to do the dhikr of Allah, and all your sicknesses in the heart will be cleaned and washed away. What a great point. Otherwise, backbiting can never go far. Yes, that look, we know, we accept the backbiting's bad, don't lie, we'll hear about the sins and we'll leave. Like, for example, if a person's sick, and you've got a cold, you've got a flu, you've got cancer, you shouldn't have this, you should do this, and if you take this medicine, you'll be fine, if you take this remedy, you'll be fine, and if you take this cure, and if you do this action, and these remedies, and you'll be fine, and for example, and you go home, will you be fine? Will you be cured? Not from the speech, that's information. Theory. The medicines that the doctor or the physicians mention, you have to use them, utilize them. This is Quran and Hadith. Information is given to a person. What do? That we just stay with information. This person's coming, he'll speak and give a lecture. We come with passion, we'll sit in the masjid. Wow, wow, subhanallah, read this and that. And then he said, pray salah and do this action, this deed. But how do we pray? How will we feel the pain and the passion? We'll leave the masjid, we'll be the same as we came. So the hadith and the Quran, they give us information, theory. We have to understand that we've come to get information. So how will we implement, physically bring this into our life, practically how will we bring to our life? We'll have to do the dhikr of Allah. Then we'll be able to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today, this is not speech in front of you. I'm not come here to give a speech. Dhikr is a great thing. Whether we need to implement, everyone should learn dhikr of Allah and then depart from. Will we learn dhikr, brothers, and depart? Inshallah. Okay, so let's do dhikr of Allah for a little while. There are two tariqas here. That, what time is salah? Half an hour. Okay, half an hour. 9:30? It's quarter to? Okay, it's 9:30. Okay, so inshallah, we'll... until Isha do dhikr. So listen, there are two methods to do dhikr. One is jahir dhikr. One is dhikr that I mentioned to you, dhikr khafi, silent dhikr. So jahir dhikr, loud dhikr, everyone can do. You can do it yourself. But khafi dhikr, silent dhikr, dhikr of the heart, you have to learn from a sheikh, a friend of Allah, and you have to make your heart alive. Switch it on. Then it takes effect. So we'll do both dhikr. First we'll do jahir dhikr, loud, we'll recite the kalamat, and collectively, and we'll do dua to Allah. And after that, we'll do maraqabah for a little while, silent dhikr, then we'll recite durood sharif, inshallah, until Isha, this program will continue. And that's why we're gathered, alhamdulillah, with love, everyone, together, recite this kalamat. If you stay quiet, angels will see that, oh, he's sitting, done. He was, and then you will leave as a person who didn't say anything. So you need to recite in the same manner that I'm reciting. So you've understood that there's no showing off in dhikr. You understood that today, that crying, shrieking, doesn't matter whatever emotion you have. Yes, that for example, a person, he's not showing off, is he reciting Quran loudly? But when you do dhikr, then Allah says that the riya, the condition of showing off, disappears, eliminates. Whatever you're feeling, emotion, do dhikr in reaction to that. That's why we dim the light, so we don't look at each other. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ Allah says, you remember me and I'll remember you. SubhanAllah. That's how we should sit fresh with the fadl of Allah. Fadl of Allah. And then after that, inshallah, we'll do maraqabah and then we'll do dua. Ready, everybody? Okay. Let's start the dhikr of Allah.